Rock and Roll Bedtime Stories. Hey, it's Brian.
And hey, it's Murdoch.
Hello.
Everybody. Hi, what's up? So we pointed out recently on the show that we have, we've hit an amazing point of this show. We've hit 200 episodes.
200 episodes. And dude, when we tell people about it that don't really listen, they're like, what? 200 episodes? Like, there is a legitimacy.
It doesn't feel like that much.
But there is a legitimacy when you throw some, like, you know,
a big number.
Well, yeah, because people are like, wait, you have your podcast has, this is not like some fictitious thing that we do and we're like hanging out on Thursdays.
I haven't looked to see what the average length a podcast lasts is typically, you know, like I'm sure like not very many, a very small percentage make it this far. We did have one that made it this far though. By the last 50 episodes or so, you weren't really involved that much anymore. It sort of became me and then people quit listening because you weren't there. So I learned a valuable lesson. You keep marking the party.
Well, you helped me get a stupid job that wasn't working with you, and then I wasn't around.
You weren't around. No. But now we're doing this, and it's been a blast. It's been more fun than anything else we've done. And we used to hang out with Steve-O and Jim Gaffigan and, you know, comedians all the time, and I have more fun doing this with you.
Yeah, yeah. Or Pauly Shore's warm-up act, who could do a great impression of Pauly Shore, doing Pauly Shore as Pauly Shore without Pauly Shore talking.
It's a real thing that happened. Christopher Titus, Rob Schneider, we talked to them all, but when we started building this and it really just became something we knew we were passionate about, and then we watched the community build around it, and we hear from people on a regular basis who tell us they take us to work or they take us on walks in orchards in Spain.
They are Patreon members and it's like
it's crazy.
It's fantastic to know that
As much as I complain about social media and the internet, this is the good side. This is the side of finding people who are like you. And I know we've talked about this, right? Like, and we have this age gap, right? We had different high school experiences, different growing up experiences. But one commonality that I think stretches across generations is this idea of loneliness that happens when you're growing up and you're like, I'm really passionate about this thing, but I live in this town and I can't find other people who care about some of this ridiculousness. And to now be able to find people from the ages of 16, we know we have a confirmed 16-year-old young lady who listens regularly with her dad, all the way to people who, I think we got one the other day, a letter, guy in his 70s or 80s, guy in his 60s, you know, so we're all the way across the board, and the commonality is that we love music, we love talking about it, we love geeking out, we love just, you know, and it's about friendship, it's really about you and I, too, right?
That was the idea.
So this is what I thought we would do to celebrate 200 episodes. We let 100 go by. We never celebrated it. Totally meant to. All of a sudden, woke up 2 years later, and now we have 200 episodes. And we have encouraged folks to ask us questions about the show. We've never really done this, like a Q&A around what it's like to make this show or things about the show, right? Occasionally, these things come up on our mailbag episodes, but we thought we would do a 200-episode mailbag. And we would answer some of your questions specifically about the show. So are you up for this?
Yeah, I've got the first question for you.
Okay.
What's your waist inseam, your pants?
That is not a listener question.
Right. I thought I'd go below the belt, see what happens.
Ah, look at that.
What happens?
The dad jokes are in full effect today. Okay, so the first one is from Henry. And he asks about our favorite episodes. Out of all of the episodes that we have created together, do we have favorites? So I'll throw that at you first.
Oh, the first one for me was like an odd one that, and I have to, I mean, Brian does an amazing amount of like all of research and you carry this and my back never hurts. So the episode we did about album covers for me was incredibly
a good one.
Heavy and important because I saw the Muppet movie. We were talking about this off the mic. I saw the Muppet movie last night.
Yeah.
And when I saw that 45 years ago, my mom bought me the LP. So on the back of the LP, I knew those were people. I knew that wasn't really Fozzie the Bear. I knew it was Frank Oz, who also did the voice for Yoda. I even knew those things. But looking at the jackets and all that meant a huge amount to me because that was fantasy. And so I didn't know how any of that shit worked. And I didn't know that Van Halen ripped off that artist and whatever, gave him a few hundred bucks for the kid with the cigarette pack or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's off the top of my head, that doesn't involve like any crazy like drugs or innuendo or anything, but like that's something that I
That's a favorite. I really like that one too. That was not on my short list, but it falls in a category of episode that are my favorite. First of all, what I do typically say when people ask me this is our newest episode is my favorite.
Yeah, that's that. You know who says something like that? Kerry King from Slayer. When they asked him recently what his favorite riff was, he said it's
one
the one I just wrote today.
Well, it's because we put so much effort into this that I'm always excited to share whatever the new one is, and I have to stop myself from calling you and be like, dude, you're never gonna believe what we're gonna talk about. But if I was to look at all of them and have to pick a few, someone actually did ask me this in the wild the other day, and I came up with a short list, and they are all the ones that have what I call original reporting in them. So what I mean by that, and the album covers one is one of those, where that was spawned by someone in Iowa telling us, hey, is this guy who is at this art fair or this mall or whatever, is he legit? He says he designed the Purple Rain album cover, and I don't know if it's true. Can you do research? So then we have to go and actually dig through stuff and try to verify things and do journalistic reporting. So I have a journalism degree, went to journalism school, have worked in the news, and so I do really love that side of it, and it feels like we're giving a greater gift when it is not just us talking about other people's research. You know what I mean? So most episodes, not to downplay what we do tons of research, but we're reading books. All these other people have gone out and done the interviews and done the work and done all that stuff, right? And then we're compiling and we're finding the best sources and we're bringing it to you. But there's occasional stuff where we have to really go into the wild and try to distinguish things. And so a couple come to mind beyond the album covers. One of them is the Bret Michaels episode about whether or not he bought that kid a guitar in an Ohio shopping mall.
Yeah, in the mall, yeah. That's
that was great. Wild. There was a more recent one about a skydiver at a Grateful Dead show.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Where we actually verified that something had happened and talked to two Grateful Dead experts who told us they thought it was not true. And we verified that it did in fact happen.
Totally new story for both of us.
Totally new story. And then maybe if I had to just pick one episode, I think my favorite episode we've ever done is the one about, it's called Rock and Roll versus Throat Singing. And it's the one about Paul Pena. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
This was not really original reporting, but it was a story that is not really out there very much. And we had to piece it together from several pieces of journalism that have been out there and put it all into one piece. And I don't want to give away the spoiler if you've not listened to this episode about what this ends up being, but it's a very prominent song from the 70s, a very prominent artist who basically becomes the voice for this guy because he's in a bad contract. Very interesting stuff. And so I think that's the long answer to a short question. Those are my favorites.
Yeah, those are cool. I'm glad that we have some of those in common.
So here's another one. This one is from Lacey, and she is in the Pacific Northwest, up in Oregon. Thanks for listening up in Oregon. So she says, guys, I'd love to hear a little bit more about the research process. Oy on vey. How you do this.
Oy vey. Well, do you want to take that, Brian?
it's kind of hard to explain how, not really. I mean, it's just...
There's the beginning of people send letters and ask about things, and that's like...
People send letters, or things will come up in conversation, and just, you know, when we're with people. And now people will come up to us, you know, and say like, hey... do you know about this? Like just because they know we do this. But the research typically starts with a Wikipedia page is the most simple answer, right? To say, hey, you know, we're going to talk about Eddie Money like we did recently. So it's, hey, go sort of get a lay of the land for Eddie Money's career. And then you start really digging through, trying to find, are there books? Some of these artists, you know, like, you kind of have the whole spectrum, right? You have the Rolling Stones or the Beatles, and there are so many books you could fill a library with them. And so that becomes a little overwhelming. Which books do you look at, et cetera? But with somebody like Eddie Money, there's been one book, and it had a really, and this actually is pretty common, even with big artists, never really got a good publishing deal, so it's very hard to find. We've had listeners, and shouts to you if you've ever done this, send us books where we might talk about doing an episode, and they'll say, hey, here's a book. We've gotten several books delivered to us via PDF that way, which is really helpful. like, I'm thinking like Screaming Jay Hawkins. We did an episode on him, and I had to read, there's like one book on Screaming Jay Hawkins, right? That we read. And then sometimes it becomes as intense as, you know, once you dig into Wikipedia, I mean, if we're really going to pull a curtain back, once you dig into Wikipedia and you see a quote, you know, it's like, so-and-so did this in the summer of 89, there will be a citation. Because Wikipedia is not, just to be clear, if somebody thinks Wikipedia is like fake, Wikipedia has people who are always paying attention. And if you try to put false information in there, it'll get booted. Things have to be cited. So it's only in there in most cases if there is an originating article. So sometimes you will find that little tidbit about, hey, Eddie Money did this thing, and you can find the citation, and that will take you to some article from 1987, and then you're cooking. Because then you have the guy who wrote that article, and you have the publication that was, you know, that had done that. And then you find in there they reference something else. And so it's really just following clues and breadcrumbs to get all the way back to the stuff that you want to find. That is probably the simplest answer. It just takes a lot of time. And so people all the time are like, I don't know how you have time to do this. And it's like, you know what? It's the fun, relaxing thing I do. So anytime I have downtime, I'm like, even like I'll be waiting on a pizza and be like on my phone reading about somebody, right? And it's just going deeper and deeper and trying to get one layer deeper about everything. Because a lot of times what you'll find is like rock and roll summary, right? And I think that's why we're passionate about doing this podcast, is because rock and roll summary becomes its own sort of history. And so you hear two sentences on a topic. So-and-so did this and did this. And there's no actual meat to any of that. You're like, I don't really know. Like, one of my frustrations on the Eddie Money episode, I'm just talking about that because it's very recent, is it is out there that he definitely overdosed on fentanyl. But there's no deep, I could not find a deeper layer than that. And that's normally what I'm looking for, is to go to find the one article where he talked about that night.
Or that there's like a hospital stay with a...
Yeah, and occasionally we do that, where it's like, can we go verify that he was in the hospital at this time? Or can we find an interview where he says this? Or, you know, so there's a lot of YouTube, there's a lot of citations, there's a lot of library books. There's a lot of me just buying books on Amazon sometimes because I can't find it anywhere else. It's really that. It's not super glamorous, but then sometimes you do get to call on experts and friends of the show. Like, we've reached out to Joel Selvin to verify stuff about the Grateful Dead. We've... you know, reached out to Richard Beanstock and Tom Bajor, who wrote what we call our Bible, the Nothing But a Good Time, a compendium of oral history of 80s rock. They've got a new book coming out.
Yes, they do.
Which is very exciting. They'll have to come back on the show. So we do try to pull in experts as well. But usually it's just like hardcore research project. Hope that wasn't too boring of a response.
It didn't have any sex, drugs, or innuendo in your response. But that's true.
Okay, so here is a question from Lynn. She is in New York. And she asks, you often reference episodes you'll never do. Can you enlighten us as to why, and add any that have been added to the list since the last time you talked about it? Okay, episodes we'll never do. There's two famous ones. You know what they are.
I know what one of them is immediately. Okay. And
you can say it. I mean, just summary statement.
It's the Led Zeppelin Fish story.
The Led Zeppelin Fish story, we're not going to do.
We'll just stop. No need. If you don't know, then just...
you can Google it.
Yeah.
You don't need us to do it.
And the other one is... what is the other one?
Steven Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
And these are... the reason we don't want to do these is... because I don't think we have anything to add to this or judgments to make or anything like that, right? We're just stay out of it. They're not about rock and roll lore. They really are about rock and roll miscreancy. And no thanks. I don't want to be making those judgment calls. But I got to thinking about this, like, is there anything else? Those are like the obvious, like, here's the stuff we don't want to do. But I got to thinking about like episodes or concepts in rock and roll history and in rock and roll, you know, currently that I'm fascinated by, but I don't think we could do a good episode of at this point. And one of these is this idea about, it's like sort of like manufacturing your own career. And I think there have been people that have done this, right? But there's a specific example, and for a lot of reasons, I don't think we can really ever do this as an episode because I don't like... there is an artist that I know of and that you know of. I'm not going to say this person's name on the mic, but they have figured out how to convince the town we live in that they're famous. Do you know who I'm talking about? Okay.
It's okay.
They play fancy galas and they do, they do public appearances and they get on the news, and it is because it is in a format that the world doesn't, certain parts of the world and certain people with the amount of money don't pay attention to. And so this person has figured out that if they walk in a room and dress a certain way and claim a certain level of fame, that people will believe them. And it's fascinating to me. And I would love to dive deeper in this and examine it, but there's no way to do that without being kind of a jerk to this particular person and like calling this person out. But it is so interesting to me. And every year it continues and I see this person get even better at it. And I'm like, no one realizes in certain social circles in this city that this person isn't famous. They legitimately think that he is a famous person.
Yeah. Now I know.
You know who I'm talking about.
I do now. Yeah. Something I want to talk about, but man, we'd have to look into it because it's something I just discovered recently. So we've talked about Richard Marx on our former podcast. Yeah.
No, we talked about Richard Marx on this show.
Both, right? Do we talk about him on the...
No, the Richard Marx episode is a Rock and Roll Bedtime Stories episode, but it's like episode 9 or something. It's really early.
Okay. I thought we talked about an ice cream headache in here. So it was on here. So there's a reel of Richard Marx talking to Paul Stanley from Kiss because they're friends.
Okay.
And they're talking about singers, and Richard Marx clearly still has pipes, and Paul Stanley like doesn't.
Right.
I mean, he's in his 70s. And they're talking about other great singers, and Richard Marx says something about like, well, you know, Steven Tyler still got a great voice. And Paul Stanley goes, maybe not. Like he says something kind of like, he doesn't say anything for a minute and he's trying to figure out exactly how he's going to answer it. But he basically just very much just sort of like swats that away. And it's like, Paul Stanley has an issue with Steven Tyler.
Interesting.
And I want to know what that is.
That could be some original reporting. Okay. Here's a question from Doug. Doug says, and this is actually like sort of the opposite question of the other question, the episodes you'll never do. What are the episodes you're ashamed you haven't done yet?
Oh, like a four-part expose about every member of Motley Crue, I guess. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing at this point, I guess.
We've done enough. Crue's in every episode, right? It's at least basic, for a sentence or two.
Yeah, basically. We just need the sound effect.
Yeah, right? Hold on, let me find it. Okay, so mine is, I think mine is Phil Spector.
Gosh.
We've never done a full Phil Spector episode. And I feel like it's going to be four episodes if we do Phil Spector, and it's just intimidating. A lot of these big intimidating ones, we just recently got around to doing Rock and Roll Tragedies. That was another thing. We're just trying to like figure out how to do it tastefully, and so we took a long time to get there, and now we're like sort of knocking them out. So we have to get to Phil Spector, but Phil Spector's such a complicated character, and he seems like such an obvious character for this show. But there's just so many layers to it, and it's so icky, you know, a lot of the story.
Yeah.
Right. But he also had such a huge impact. So his name's come up on the show before. We've talked about him with the Ramones, of course. But we've never done the Phil Spector episode. And so that's probably the one I'm like ashamed we haven't done, when people are like, oh, cool, rock history. Well, how about your Phil Spector episode? No, we haven't done that one yet.
You know what we haven't done either? We haven't done it's a little Steven Tyler territory, but Jimmy Page or Ace Frehley, I guess is how Paul Stanley would say it, who's a very cheap contemporary of Jimmy Page. Sorry, everybody. It's true. But the stories with both of them are super interesting. I mean, owning Aleister Crowley's house is one thing, and then I don't know how many funny things there are to talk about Space Ace. The overdubbing,
Jimmy Page and the Aleister Crowley thing, that's interesting.
The overdubbing, and we've talked about that on the show. Like it's come up about him and the house.
Right.
But we've never talked about Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, where they had to overdub Ace's like voice track into something that clearly is not even him. Like, there's, I mean,
did we not talk about that? We, and this is the other thing, right? And nobody asked about this in the question, is that we all the time will be like, hey, we should do, or we'll be going through letters and we'll be like, yeah, we should do this. And I'm like, bro, we've already done that. Or I'll be like, hey, Mark, we should do this. And you're like, didn't we do that on episode whatever? And I'm like, oh yeah, 200 episodes is a lot. And so we have to go through. We did actually get a question about like sort of structuring thing, and I thought I put everybody to sleep talking about the research process, but there is a structuring process, right? Around like, how do you go back and find things from old episodes? So we do, we have scripts and we have research and we will go and dig that up. So there are times where we are able to like, oh, hey, we need to pop in some of the information that we might have shared about Jimmy Buffett 50 episodes ago into this episode. So we're able to pull and then, you know, just repopulate and put it back in and get it all dressed up for whatever the new subject is. So that has started to happen, which has been pretty cool, of being able to reference ourselves as a source, which is sort of bizarre.
Yeah, that's a little strange, but it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we'll do one more. And if you have questions, it's wherethestoryguys@gmail.com. This one, though, is how did you get the name of the show? Do you remember?
Was it my idea?
I don't remember. Mm. I got this and I was like, I don't know how we got this. In my mind, it was always called this. And I don't know if when I pitched it to you, I brought the name. If we threw it back and forth to come up with a name for it, I don't remember. And then we've told the origin story a lot, which is that we were working on Story Guys together, and we knew that we would probably have a rock-related thing at some point, but I had been with some friends of mine. Well, no, this was before Story Guys. So beginning of 2019, before we had officially launched Story Guys, I was driving to see a band with a couple of friends, and we were listening to music in the car and heard, I think, maybe the Ghostbusters theme and maybe NXS. I don't know. We were listening to like 80s stuff, and we started telling these stories about these songs, and I only knew rough details. And I was like, this sort of feels like a great podcast that doesn't exist, which is what are the real details around these stories I think I half know. That was sort of the concept. But I don't remember at what point we called it Rock and Roll Bedtime Stories.
I mean, I think it was a mismatch or a mashup of like Story Guys, Rock and Roll Stories, and then you tell them before bed. Like, I think it was just a thing that was sort of like...
My favorite reviews of the show, and we have more than one review that begins this way, which is, I was looking for bedtime stories podcast, and I found this instead.
Yeah, this is not a bedtime stories podcast.
I didn't think about that. From a marketing perspective, it did not occur to me that would happen.
Because people are probably like looking for like, I need ambient music because my white noise thing is broken.
Right, right, right.
And we're like...
And we're like, yay, Ace Frehley, Motley Crue.
Yeah.
That's good times. That could, oh, man. Yeah. We are the story guys at gmail.com if you want to get involved in the show. And
thanks for listening to 200 episodes.
Thank you so much. And for you crazy people who have started over and are listening again, because I know we've heard from you, salutes. We love you a special amount. And patreon.com/rockandrollbedtimestories if you want to keep the show going with a little bit of a financial contribution. That's always really helpful.
For
we
reals.
Appreciate you. All right. Until next time, what should people keep doing?
Keep telling stories.
Keep it. Yep.